And welcome back to Brainchild, where potentials are unlocked in life and in our careers. This is your host, Patricia, and for this episode, I had a pleasure of meeting with Johnny Lovanos, who is the founder of a new spirits company called Stray Dog Wild Gin. It was a late night for me when we did this call, so you can really hear the voice. My voice had deepened, especially on this episode, but that's what makes Brainchild all the more real and raw, right? If you've been a Cornell student and took Introduction to Wines class in the hotel school, like I have, you may have met him when he visited as the guest lecturer who talked about the wines of Greece. And that's how I was introduced to the man. He left such a positive impact and impression that I had to reach out to him to reconnect for this call. You might have also seen him on TV on ABC's TV series, Family Food Fight. But to the rest of you, Johnny comes from a big Greek-American restaurant family. He's had a lifetime of experience in the F&B industry, working in the family business as a general manager, beverage director, and since 2020 up until this point, he is now an entrepreneur of his own gin company called Stray Dog Wild Gin. So in this episode, we talked about how his idea for the company came about in his own aha moment, how he came up with the name of the brand, which is very unique, and stories from his past, like being on a national TV show with his family, or his younger days as a university student at Cornell, or even younger as a 13-year-old whose first job was to make milkshakes. Anyways, you're going to learn so much about gin and spirits altogether, as well as Johnny as the amazing man he is, and so I'm so excited for you to meet him. Here you go. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Patricia. Good morning. Well, good evening for you.
What time is it there for you?
It's 9:20 a.m., so not too early, but, you know, just getting the day started here while you're winding down probably after this.
Thank you for waking up early in the morning for me.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So you are a hotelier. You graduated from the hotel school. Was it 2011?
Yes, 2011.
2011, okay.
It was like so long ago that my 10-year reunion was supposed to be this past June, but they made it virtual. So I'm hoping that our 10-year reunion gets to be postponed and redone next year.
Now, is that an official reunion held by the school, or is it friends getting together?
It's official. So okay. I did the 5-year reunion, which was so fun. I think that what they do is they nominate, or people nominated some committee members that are part of the class and they put it together, but it's all done on this on campus, the school events and things like that. The 5-year reunion was so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
You know, 5 years after you graduate from college, so much happens. Then after 10 years, like now people have babies and
oh my gosh, that's insane.
I was excited to get caught up with everybody, but hopefully next year we can do that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So at the 5-year reunion, I'm guessing people were married, people were had gone to grad school, have their own businesses.
Lots of different things, yeah.
Okay, so I was kind of stalking you on LinkedIn. I did a little scroll through all the jobs you had in the past and now. So you are currently a founder of Stray Dog Wild Gin, which we're going to definitely get into today. And it also says that you're part of the Diamond Wine Importers, and then you used to be a beverage director at Ouija. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm so sorry. But it's now rebranded, is that correct?
Yes, we now, the restaurant's called Hudson West.
Mm-hmm. So how many jobs do you have right now?
Well, I have my hands in a lot of different things. It's always good to stay busy. My family has many restaurants in New York, so I'm always helping out with them. But right now my focus has been with Diamond Wines, selling Greek wines across the country, and then also with the gin, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us about your background in the wine and restaurant world?
Yes, my family is a restaurant family. Starting with my grandfather, I've had many restaurants. So we've opened and closed throughout the years. So I've kind of always grown up in a restaurant background. There's always been food, hospitality in my family. So I started working in restaurants from a very young age. I was maybe 12 or 13 years old when I had my first job, and I was making milkshakes at the diner, City Limits Diner, which is in White Plains, New York. And from a very young age, I knew that's what I wanted to do, was to go into restaurants. So I went to Cornell Hotel School, but after that, I went to the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley, and I did a culinary arts program there, worked in some kitchens while out in Napa. I moved down then to Washington, D.C., where I took a job with Jose Andres' restaurant group, and I ended up becoming the bar manager at Zaytinya. And being the bar manager there was my first time professionally working with alcohol and cocktails and wine, and that's where I really got my first taste of how fun the spirits industry is and how fun the beverage side of the industry is. And I started to learn wine there. So I actually took courses and then became a certified sommelier. That started when I was in Zaytinya. But then I moved back to New York. I'm a New Yorker. My family's all here. I couldn't stay away from New York for too long. So after a couple of years, I moved back to New York. Worked with my family bartending at the Modern Barn, which is our restaurant in Armonk, New York. And then I got a job as the bar manager at Danny Meyer's restaurant Marta, which is an Italian fancy pizza place in downtown on like 29th and 3rd Park. And I loved it there. I worked with master sommelier Jack Mason. I really got to focus on my wine background. And that's my first time running a New York City bar program, which is very, very different.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, New York City is a whole different animal. There's so much competition, there's so many bars, but people have such a high standard. So you're always trying to be profit-minded and at the same time finding ways to give a good guest experience while also maintaining level of efficiency. You need to make sure your drink menu is fast. You need to make sure bartenders could get them out without slowing down service. So that was always a challenge. Then after I was there for a couple of years, I opened up Usia with my family in January of 2017. So we built a new restaurant. It was a Greek restaurant on the west side of Manhattan on 57th between 11th and 12th. And there was where we had I built a bar program there as well as running the restaurant. And my family always had a passion for Greek wine and showing Greek food and culture with the world. So I wanted to leave my mark. So I decided to make a bar program focused on Greek Mediterranean flavors. And that's kind of what started my journey into potentially making my own product. I actually went to Greece on a wine trip, and that's where the whole idea for Stray Dog Gin happened. Because I was tasting all these amazing Greek foods and drinking Greek spirits, and tasted some awesome Greek liqueurs. I ended up putting some wild herbs that we found while like walking through a vineyard into a glass of tsipora, which is a Greek style grappa. And after it infused for about an hour, I had a sip, and like the light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, wait a second, like gin is basically this. I kind of made a mini gin. Why is no one making gin here? There's such a beautiful amount of Greek flavor and raw materials and a distilling culture and history. Like, someone should work on this. So my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife,
Oh my gosh.
she pushed me to pursue it, and since then we launched a beautiful product called Stray Dog Wild Gin, and we launched that in January, oh, no, March of last year of 2020, and yeah, and around the same time I took the job with Diamond Wine Importers, so working with selling Greek wine across the country, teaching people, educating. Bringing them to market and showing people up. Well, for me, it's such a fun part of my heritage and my culture, and trying to share it with more and more people to help bring Greek flavor and Greek products to the world. It's a long journey.
Yeah, I can tell you've done this a lot. It just like came to you so naturally. So getting into Stray Dog Wild Gin, you talked about experimenting with the herb and that's how kind of it led to the start of the business. So what was one exotic or unique raw ingredient you're able to get your hands on, and were there great lengths you had to go to get them?
So one of my favorite ingredients we use is wild sage, which is called foscomilo. And while we were experimenting with the different botanicals to use, I always knew I wanted sage to be in there because my grandparents, when they make tea at night, they normally make a foscomelo tea, which is basically just wild, dried mountain sage that they boil with water. It's such a unique, distinct flavor. And for me, I'm like, that would be awesome in a gin.
Wow.
In Greece, they wildly pick that all over the place and they sell it. So we wanted to make sure we could find that ingredient, but also find something that's locally sourced near the distillery in northern Greece. Because I wanted that to be a main flavor component for me. So I was very excited to have that in the gin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does say capturing the essence of an untamed life in a bottle. I did my research. And also, I thought it was interesting how you mentioned you use natural springs water. I'm not sure if this is an important part of gin. Is it?
Yeah, well, spirits in general, not just gin, but all spirits are about 50 to 60% water. So water is the bulk of what's in the bottle. So water is a huge component of making a great spirit. For bourbon, for example, in Kentucky, like they have the water there is high in mineral content. So that is a reason why some of those bourbons are so distinct. That's why they say New York pizza is better than any pizza all over the world because our water is better over here.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's a simple thing, but based on the minerals that are in there, gives the water a good flavor and that helps make the gin smoother, helps bring some roundness and dimensions to it. And our distillery is located in northern Greece where we have natural springs and the water literally runs right to the distillery from a river. And that's where they source all the water. It goes through a filtration system, but it's literally natural water from the well that's coming from a spring from like a mountain in Greece. So it's like freshest water you can possibly get.
And was that a natural option for you or did you also have to experiment with using different types of water? Like there's volcanic.
That was like a bonus for us because when we found our distillery and we were working with them and then the fact that they had this amazing water source just was made it a no-brainer to work with them to make our gin in their distillery.
And I know you also had to make a pivot since launching the brand to go online during the pandemic and you had to change your target market into going retail and to liquor stores. So how did you get your products out there? Like, did you do cold calls?
Our original plan was to sell a lot to restaurants. And then restaurants are a great place to grow a brand because you have the bartenders that act as ambassadors and they recommend your products and you get people to see it and try it, and then hopefully they go to a liquor store and buy it. But when the restaurants were closed, we didn't have that luxury. So we had to go direct. We had to pivot to try to go to retail stores and online stores. Online was a great option because we could control the message and we could advertise via social media. In the beginning of the pandemic, it was difficult to go to retailers because people weren't even doing tastings. A lot of people here in the States were doing curbside pickup only. So, you know, if you don't know about a product, you're not going to ask liquor stores to give you a random gin. You're going to go and ask for something you know, right? So when you heard in the beginning of the pandemic that a lot of liquor brands were skyrocketing in sales, some of the small brands didn't get that same boost until later on, until they started to adapt. And I think people wanted to try new things. But for us, what was very helpful was the power of social media. I didn't believe it was as strong as it was until I gave it a try and actually put it into practice. We were messaging stores on Instagram and we were sending sample bottles to stores and literally just like getting it out there, letting them try it. And everyone who tries it loves it. So that was a great success for us, just mailing bottles in the mail, reaching out to social media. And people love that engagement, especially smaller stores where, you know, social media engagement is super helpful. It's the best way to get your message out there. So just by reposting someone's post or sharing a picture on their stories and hitting them with a message, we were able to get a huge spread of new liquor stores to start carrying our products. And then in that first year, we started off just in the tri-state area in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And now we are in about 15 states and Puerto Rico.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was a great, first year to get more markets open. And then actually in July, we started selling in Greece finally.
International, okay.
Yeah, now we're an international brand.
I was going to ask, do you plan on launching to the rest of the country, like the West Coast and also internationally?
But yes. So internationally, for sure. Greece is our first one. We'd love to do Spain, Italy, Germany, and UK next. We'd love to get to Australia at some point. Maybe to Korea at some point too.
Yeah, definitely. we have a big drinking culture here.
Oh, if you know anyone, let me know. We could start finding a way to import it. That'd be fun. And then yeah, to the West Coast, that'd be great. We want to find the right distribution partners. Distribution is a key to successful launch. So you have to have the right people to work with in different markets to make it a successful launch.
Yeah. And apart from social media for the brand itself, because you've done a lot of interviews and press covers, did it help that you had an online presence to get your brand out there and to tell your story?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. In this day and age, you need online presence. It's a necessity. It's that's how people see you first. That's the first way to get yourself out there. So it's like having a billboard where you could put everything you want for everyone to learn about out there. And that's like a springboard. That's a launching point. So if someone's never heard of us, they can now go to our website and read about us. If there's someone doing press or media, they have a great resource to go and learn more about just by going to our website or Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, you need to have that digital footprint. It's crucial. It's the only way to really start getting your word out, message out there. And then word of mouth kind of comes after, but you need to have a good website. It makes your brand look legit. It gives you credibility, regardless of how big or small you are. Having a good website could give the perception of a high quality, awesome product.
And you're also a TV personality.
Guess so.
I saw clips of you on the ABC Family Food Bite. Was that on a whim, like this looks fun, we should do it? Or was it kind of like, oh, this is a great show and I think it's a good opportunity to go out
Yeah, that
there?
was a fun, weird opportunity for us.
Okay.
We were on ABC's Family Food Fight. My family loves to cook. We love to eat. We love to cook together. And we auditioned as like a joke. Like we the
Oh,
audition
okay.
process, yeah, the audition process was so fun. Yeah, we got together. I auditioned with my mom, my brother, my uncle, and my two aunts. So there was like six of us auditioned together. To that point, they didn't say how big the teams could be. And we had to bring a dish. Like we just brought a pre-cooked dish, and we brought my mom's sister Antonella. We brought her zucchini pasta with squash blossoms dish.
Yum.
We just had to talk about it, and then they instantly had us come for the callback, where we had to make a 3-course meal in under an hour. So we cooked up this amazing dish, having so much fun. I like made cocktails for everybody.
Oh.
And then we basically got accepted to be on the show like instantly.
It's the cocktails. No, I'm just kidding. It's
The cocktail
everything.
won them over, and that was a crazy experience that we had to basically be locked away for 3 weeks in California. Also sad, they cut the team down, so they could only be three team members. So it was just me, my brother, my mom. My aunt didn't make the cut.
Oh,
They
no.
wanted to have that close family dynamic. So it's my brother, my mom. We went out to California. We filmed together for 3 weeks, and we made it to third place. That was pretty cool. But it was crazy. I mean, being on TV, a reality TV show, it's insane. It's nothing like what you see on TV. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes. To
Gosh.
film one episode took 2 full days of filming.
Wow. Couldn't.
Yeah, so just so much content. With reality TV, they want to get as much content as they can so they can piece together and tell whatever story they're trying to tell.
So cooking for the camera was very different from just cooking in general.
Well, cooking not just for the camera, cooking, studio kitchen where you have every single tool you would ever dream of. It was like, and then every single ingredient in the pantry you could think of. It was so fun because, like, I'm the kind of cook when I'm cooking, I look at the fridge and then I like take what I have. I don't necessarily look at recipes. I eat so much going out. So, like, I have like recipes in my head. Like, I know what flavors go well together and I have a good cooking foundation. So, it's all about seeing the ingredients there. But then I have like a whole wall of stuff and it's like as if I was in the supermarket picking what I wanted. So, that made it very fun and I was able to be creative. But we had a short amount of time to cook. So, I was always finding ways to take shortcuts to make the flavor taste extra good. It was fun. It's all about being organized and being animated. Like, we were just having fun because, no one at home was able to taste the food. So we wanted to make sure it all looked pretty and that we were having fun doing it, maybe make it look like it tasted better. But we had some really fun times. I don't know if you watched any of the episodes, but we cooked up some pretty good dishes. I made a ramen one episode. It was my first time ever making ramen, and it came out amazing. We made the shish burger, which was like a shish kebab stabbed through a burger with the baklava milkshake to again pay homage to my Greek roots. We were sad we didn't come in first. We wanted that grand prize. Third place is okay. I won a fridge. I did win a fridge.
Oh, do you have it with you?
I gave it to my grandparents.
Okay. Is there any noticeable reaction from your friends and people around you after you've been on air?
My friends all thought it was fun. I mean, they were loved to cheer me on. Luckily, it wasn't like the most popular TV show because I don't know if I could handle being like recognized in the street. Once at the restaurant, someone came in and said, like, "Oh, you're from Family Food
Oh
Fight."
my
I was like,
gosh, that's exciting.
one time I had that celebrity moment, but now it's just like funny memory.
You were also on the Build series before. It was like a YouTube clip that I watched, and then you made like a cold brew corrected
Yeah, so yeah,
cocktail.
that was a fun opportunity when I was at OSEA. We did a made some brunch drinks, brunch cocktails for the Build show on. It was like the AOL show, I think. Yeah, I like
But
working in front of a live audience. That's honestly, it's kind of fun.
you're natural at it. Like, I would have been so nervous to talk and make and do everything at the same time.
You know what? At Cornell, I was in a sketch comedy group.
Did not know this.
So yeah, it was called, I think they changed the name. I think they're called the Schizos now. So that was actually something that helped put me out of my comfort zone because I was a little more shy and introverted when I was younger.
I see.
And it's funny, being in at Cornell, like everything was business oriented, like very on track. I was like, I gotta do something fun. I gotta do something a little bit off the beaten path. And so yeah, I auditioned for a comedy group. But since then, I think it's helped me be more comfortable on the spot in front of people and to just kind of put yourself out there.
Talking about Cornell, if you could add a class to the hotel school, do you have any idea what it would be?
Huh? Sorry,
And
hold on a second. There's a dog
no,
here.
you take your time. Oh my gosh, hello.
Hey, Pico.
What's
Hey,
Pico?
Pico. If I could add a class to Cornell, what class would it be? I don't know. It's a tough one to say. I would say, I mean, the cocktail stuff I all learned after the fact. I mean, I know there was a spirits class, but making classic cocktails would be a fun class.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun class. I'm very passionate about like water, and I was like convinced the hotel school to create like a water sommelier class or something like
Love
that.
water, yeah. I think so. My wife's from Barcelona. They have a Vichy Catalan, which is a Spanish sparkling water. Have you had that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. If you're a water sommelier, you have to try Vichy Catalan. It's like
Okay.
made from the mountains of Catalonia. It has this like super sparkly effervescence. It's like almost salty. It's like a very mineral water. It's so good.
And now that I saw Pico, like I just have to make a little pivot because I wanted to ask the name of your business, Stray Dog Wild Gin, did it come to you right away or was it after many considerations?
We were talking about a lot of different ways to name the gin. Something that could showcase something about Greek culture and Greek flavor, but also something that is more international. We didn't want to have a Greek name. We wanted something that's easy to pronounce. So we talked about a bunch of different names. We knew we wanted an animal to be a part of it. And then, on the trip to Greece, I was thinking back about it and I was like, oh, there was that stray dog that came with us during that whole entire hike. Stray dog, like that's part of Greece. There's dogs everywhere. They're like part of the communities. People take care of them. They feed them, and maybe we can do something good to it as well. So we decided to name it Stray Dog, and then we added the charitable element where we donate some to stray dog shelters in Greece. So it was a fun name. We had a nice ring to it. And then when I looked online and the website was available, the trademark was available, I'm like, done. I got everything. I secured it, and I was like, okay, that's it. Boom. Next, let's go.
It sticks. At first I was like, okay, that's a cool name, but didn't know it had a backstory, and then it all made sense.
Yep.
I wanted to just wrap up by asking for recommendations. Like, I don't know anything about gin, and if I were to get started tasting, like, what would be a good place to start, especially for Greek gin,
So yeah, I
whatever?
mean, if you're starting with tasting gin, the most popular style is London Dry, right? So that's like Tanqueray, Beefeater, Bombay. Those are the most classic quintessential flavors. So They're more juniper heavy, bright, and so you want to start there.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's so many different styles of gin. So like you maybe want to try an Old Tom gin. So they have some barrel-aged gins. Then after that, I think you'd want to go to the global gin world where Stray Dog mm-hmm. fits in. I don't know if you, what you'd call it. Just like the more craft New World craft gins, where they're mm-hmm. coming from different countries. Roku from Japan is really delicious using Japanese botanicals. They have Botanist from Scotland using Scottish botanicals. Malfi from Italy with Italian botanicals. And then Stray Dog, of course, with Greek botanicals. So I'd say if you're loving gin, try to find ones from different countries where you like different ingredients. Build your collection and taste them because they're all so different. With gin, there's no rules to how it's made. It just mm-hmm. has to have juniper and be made from neutral spirit. But besides that, you could do anything you want. So there's like a whole giant world of gins to try, but they're all different. So, you know, try them, mix them with tonic water. So try some, get some good quality tonics. That's a great way to drink gin as a gin and tonic. And experiment because, again, it's so fun to mix with gin. Gin's an easy spirit to mix with. Play with some classic cocktails like Negronis, Martinis, and see how it goes from there.
What's your personal favorite?
I did love a gin and tonics. I like to have long drinks that are, you know, bubbly and refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to sip my drink for a long time. So like, I like a gin and tonic. And then if I want something stronger, I do love a Negronis. So Negronis, equal parts, gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. It's a bitter, strong Italian style cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun to try those with different gins because, you know, since it's only three ingredients and each ingredient is equally, is an equal part mm-hmm. in each, you know, you could taste the distinct differences in each gin to play with it. So,
wow. I'm learning so much already. Just a personal question because I am like planning to do my first post-pandemic trip to Florida this winter because my best friend is having a wedding there. But I also want to travel to Greece sometime next year, hopefully. And
great place to travel to. I just came back from Greece a couple weeks ago.
Any recommendations for a gastronomy trip in Greece?
Athens is you're going to start in Athens.
Okay.
I would say start in Athens and then tour the islands. You know, it bounces around from place to place. I'd love going to Crete. Crete's one of my favorite places to visit. It's the biggest island. There's so much to see and do there with amazing food. Try local cheeses, drink local wine, eat a lot of seafood. I mean, that's Greece in a nutshell. There's so much to see. There's hundreds of islands, so I can't say what's the best place to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mykonos and Santorini are the most popular to visit. So I would say go to at least one of those, but you definitely want to get to a more off the beaten path island, like Naxos, Paros, Milos, Tinos, Lesvos, Chios. There's so many. So you can't go wrong, honestly. They're all beautiful. They're all amazing. You just have to just somehow decide on which ones you want to do.
Which islands did you visit your last trip?
We went to Crete. We went to Mykonos. Yeah, Crete and Mykonos. And then we did the mainland parts of Greece
mm-hmm.
up in the north where the distillery is near Thessaloniki. And we did and in Athens.
Now that it's been a year since you launched the business, is it more meeting with potential distributors or product development, trying out different...
It's a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's product development. Right now, mm-hmm. it's mainly about visiting accounts, bars, restaurants, and spreading the word, trying to get... our product out there. That's the main goal right now, is just to get placements, get cocktail menu placements, taste people on, get into new stores and accounts, and making sure the world tries Stray Dog.
Well, with that, what kind of distributor or partner are you looking for?
We want someone who has a great reputation in the market, distributors that have an educated and passionate sales force, and someone who's able and willing to help grow a brand. Because we're a small brand, so we need an extra love, you know. Some of the bigger brands, they sell themselves, so they can be more flexible. But we want a team of working for a distributor that's a team of passionate sales force that's able to help grow the brand and tell our story.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. This is really
My
nice.
My pleasure. All right, thank you, Patricia.
Have a great day, Johnny.